I want to thank you for being here and taking the time to hear me read tonight. And I'm going to get on this thing and I'll hit the timer. I'm not going to read you. I'm going to kind of just position myself here. I'm not going to read you Chicken Fornicator tonight. True story. I'm not going to read you about Little Amber. Heaviest thing I ever lifted in my life. 21 death blows to her head. I'm not going to read you that. I'm not going to read you how the sergeant put his finger in the man's mother's ashes, put it in his mouth and said, 98% pure. True stories. I'm not going to read you any of those things. What I'm reading tonight is a poem. Mark Twain wrote a poem called The War Poem. And what happened was Mark Twain didn't publish until after his death because they thought it would be that bad. If you get a chance, read the poem. It's called Preparing for War. I'm getting ready for the next war. This war, we've fought for about 10 years. It's for the most part almost over and we've won. 10 years, most of the soldiers were boys with 10 years of sandstorms and hard in their faces, and they can now return as if they were leaving Troy. I'm already petitioning God, and I'm sure because of our past record, he will be on our side. I'm going to ask our government to select some generals with faces of leather and eyes like hawks. Generals of that not mind, trying new weapons out on our enemies, such as lightning and thunder, and something with blaring horns that will bring the walls of Jericho tumbling. I plan talking to as many men of the cloth as possible, and wish to include all faiths, Catholics, Protestant, Jewish, Buddhist, Islam, tree huggers, and sun worshippers. I'm working on a eulogy that will bring the strongest fathers to their knees. I've already forwarded about a dozen flags to hand out to the wives and mothers that will sit at the graves of the fallen sons and daughters. I'm working with men that build the boxes. I've already talked with a company that makes the body bags. I'm circulating a list so poets get a head start and each will be allotted enough time to cry in the pages of verse. I even went as far as to design a ribbon of many colors to be pinned on the chest of the heroes. Guns and ammo will not be a problem, nor will boots or sandbags. I bet you thought I'd forget about the sandbags. No way did I forget the sandbags. You always need sandbags in all wars, and it's a necessity for the soldiers, if only for discipline. Soldiers need to fill sandbags. Good soldiers know that. The sandbags filling is important. I'm looking into Arling to assure that we have enough space because we've got to figure there'll be many graves. I've already spoken with several senators and asked if they have their speeches ready for war. Sometimes war comes unexpectedly and we need good speeches. Speeches will say honor, courage, bravery, gallantry, valor, country, fidelity, strength, even Herculean and resolute, unflinching heroism and good old apple pie. I've asked them to make sure they use God's name. They use God's name a lot of times because it's only right. And we surely wouldn't want to exclude God in any of our own war speeches. I also ask them to say freedom has a price and that the fallen have paid the ultimate. Make sure you use the word like shields and lay down his or her life for his or her brothers. These words sound good and these words will work, for these words have been tried and tested, realizing there will be many wounded, and those that have lost their limbs, I will make sure we have plenty of prosthesis, and there will be stockpiles of plastic arms and legs. I will ask Congress to keep up Walter Reed Hospital, for they have treated over 10,000 men and women have been seriously wounded, and they know how to rehabilitate and give physical therapy. Besides, Walter Reed is very close to the White House and is in driving distance in case the Commander-in-Chief wishes to visit. I'll make sure there are a few rooms for those who get shell-shocked and need the cry of a psychologist. You need for the sissies that have been issued with killing our enemies. I realize there will be those that protest, but really think about it. Have they really stopped any war? In fact, if we put the right spin on it, we can make the protesters our enemies. and if necessary, we can arrest and beat the hell out of them. I've contacted several news stations, and they say they will have time for war. In fact, they are working on a journalist award, even as we speak. I already figured we will use our young boys and girls because it's only fair and just the right thing to do. And since now and forever, youth can be lost, we can well afford. And when you think about it, who wants to see old farts, men, fight war? Nothing sounds worse than the sound of an old bag of farts falling to the earth. As far as our allies or United Nations, just give them enough sins of the flesh, we will own them lock, stock, and barrel. So that I don't forget, make sure that you have all the lovers start practicing writing love letters, because sure, they perfume the many love promises with lonely tears. I do not wish to mention the Dear John letters just because these rotten barrel letters are always mean and hurtful. I know a couple of friends in Nashville and already working on a couple of good old country boy God Bless America songs sung by guys like Kenny Rogers and Willie Nelson's. Good songs like Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town and Proud to Be an American. Songs like that can be sung at the World Series and at the Super Bowl. I also have friends in Hollywood that are working on war scripts, but it's hard to replace John Wayne. I'll make sure that we have plenty of Bibles to give our troops, because everyone knows there are no atheists in foxholes, and I hope to get enough copies of Mark Twain's War Prayer, because it makes good read. And if I've forgotten anything, such as, where will we place the cowards? It's easy. I say shoot them at sunrise. USO shows is a must, and we should carry on as if Bob Hope never left. And above all, please remember, war is hell. Now, I'll give you a chance to run to the door. This was going to be swearing. I don't like wimpy swearing. So if you want to run to the door, run now. I won't be offended. See, the photographer's out here. Hey, thanks. Oh, if you want to buy some film off him, this is Neil. He filmed everybody tonight except me. Okay, this is called Swearing. Oh, man, this is it. It's Roy Gutter. I love to swear, and swearing should be as natural as breathing. Normal is shaking a fist to heaven, not like saying son of a bitch, but more like spitting out dusty old balls dragger, bell palsy kisser, flamingo fornicator, one-eyed monkey beater, paper bag full of shinola, chrome dumb stuck where the sun doesn't shine, wet pants of a coward, warts on a witch's ass, boiling the milk, nipple turd on the wedding cake, bindings on the sore feet of a 4 a.m. streetwalker, baboon, sore blue butt, ball of liver and turnips, pension of the ass wipe of the king, hung by the nuts from a tall oak tree, eternal soft on, young blue ball stuck to a block of dry ice, hunchback lover, club foot up the tight ass of opportunity, stuttering with a mouthful of monkey poop, nose picker and stool, booger eater, snot, bicycle seat liquor of a virgin, taking a steamy dump over a cold bear trap, sinner locked outside of a church, a defense attorney caught trying to tell the truth, wet jockey strap in a loser's locker room, toilet in the bus terminal, camel toe kisser, enema bag squeezer, douchey dude in a pink suit, double-creased shiny silk pants liar, politician on rusty roller skates telling on a nun, finger up the prostrate, fist up where it doesn't belong, game of hamster hide-and-seek, saggy tits on an old bowl, and soap in my dirty, filthy mouth if I don't say hot twatty on a Tweety scorned. Now I realize this is nothing like stopping in the woods on a snowy evening. Or how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. But you've got to realize I pulled the stinkers out of the Ohio River and cut the rope of the hanged. Till next year, gang. See ya. Woo!